Hello, all you wonderfully strange and unusual creatures.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Courtney. And this is Sinister Crimes and Cocktails, a true crime show that digs into the dark depths of sinister minds, their menacing crimes, and mistakes left behind, all while sipping on a sinister cocktail masterminded by Corey for each episode.
We want to first start out by saying that our sinister cocktails featured for each episode is just to help us lighten the mood a bit on the dark and horrific crimes we cover. And in no way, shape, or form are we trying to make light of the horrific crimes. Please know our hearts go out to the victims, their families and friends, and law enforcement affected by each of the cases we cover.
Okay, Corey, what sinister cocktail have you masterminded for today's episode?
I'm calling this one an angel killer. 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of coffee liqueur, 3 ounces of cocoa pebble cereal milk, half an ounce of chocolate syrup. Combine all these ingredients into a shaker and shake it with some ice. Double shake into a glass of your choice. It's filled with ice and garnished with some cocoa pebbles. And enjoy.
I really like this one. It's like a chocolate white Russian. You did it so good.
It's really good. I'm enjoying it too. Got a little deadly kick from the coffee. Oh, yeah.
It does have a little kick from the coffee.
We start giggling later. We know what happened.
Yep. Hey, also on a side note, this is our 100th episode.
I know. Oh my gosh. It doesn't even feel like we've done 100 episodes talking about 100 crimes. Crazy.
I know. So the next episode will start season 2.
Oh my gosh. This is super exciting. I hope our listeners have enjoyed us as much as we have doing this and talking crime and getting drunk together. Some days more than others, but this has been super fun, Court. I've enjoyed it. I'm glad we're still here.
I know. Me too. So, all you strange and unusual creatures, pour yourself a cocktail and settle in for this sinister true crime, the washtub killer. Believe us, you're gonna need it. Hilda Nielsen, also known as the Angel Maker of Bruck Street, is one of Sweden's most notorious female serial killers. In 1917, she was imprisoned for murdering 8 children that were under her care at her home and given a life sentence. So, what would make a woman caring for infants turn into such a sinister killer?
Well, I mean,
desperate times call for desperate measures.
Just saying. I mean, you know, those first 2-3 weeks of life of a newborn baby can be quite telling. And if you've got, you know, several of those, it could be tough. I'm not saying go kill the kid. Just take it someplace safer.
I would agree with that. Hilda Nielsen was born on May 24, 1876, in the countryside of Scania province, south of Sweden. At the age of 17, she moved to the city of Helsingborg in Sweden, working as a maid. There, she would meet her husband, Gustav, and the two would buy a house in Helsingborg. During the marriage, the couple had acquired several large debts and were at risk of being evicted from their home at Birksgatan 5. To make money, Hilda began taking in infants from unwed mothers for a lump sum of money. In those days, to have a child out of wedlock was a moral crime, and to ask a fee to care for those children was a common practice. This practice was called baby farming, and the women that took in the illegitimate children were known as angel makers.
So this is crazy, right? When I looked at this case, when you sent it over to me, I was like, what the fuck? First of all, Sweden people are like so like just stoic and just so...
Because they're fucking Vikings.
Quiet. And well, I don't take them like that. Like, they're usually like very, hello, how you doing? You know, I mean, when you think about like Frozen with...
They're all like Olaf.
Yeah, no. Like Olaf. Well, not Olaf. What was the one guy in the movie where he went in to buy like some carrots and stuff and he was like, hello. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how I think of like Sweden people. Like, they're always very like nice, and they're not like other, I would say, the Northern Europeans, like that are much more a little bit harder and to get along with and that kind of stuff. But they're always usually pretty nice and bitey. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, usually. I mean, the Swedes I've met have been very nice.
I mean, I feel like we need to go there and just see for ourselves.
I'm game. Let's go. Let's book our flights for tomorrow. Let's get out of here. It's getting hot where we're at.
It is.
This is what got me, because I was like, man, this is crazy. But I also see the point of, you know, you're talking about taking children that were unwanted from the beginning. And you see this a lot in this time period. Like, kids were just tossed out in the street like they were trash, especially when they had too many and they couldn't afford them. And, you know, times got really tight. I would say the world economy during this time was really tough, because you really started to see that separation of social class throughout the world, not just in the United States, because you're talking now you're in the industrial era of the United States and really industrial era of a lot of places. And within the United States, starting their industrial era coming up, lessening the workload, using more industrial machines to do the work, people started to really separate in classes, you know, from the upper class, middle class to lower class. So you saw this a lot. And then, of course, like you said, with mothers not being wed, this is a big deal. You didn't have children out of wedlock back then, especially over there in those old European countries. They did not look well on that.
No, so, not at all.
But then you have a lady who's taking in kids who doesn't really have kids of her own, so she probably doesn't like them. So they're just being treated like trash. And, you know, it's just a sad, this is a sad case in that fact for sure.
It is. Now, angel makers were mainly interested in the money and not the infants that they cared for. They took payment from unwed mothers to care for their infants, but neglected the babies to the point that they died becoming angels, hence the name angel makers.
So sad.
It is. It's so fucked up, too.
When you said the baby farming earlier, I was like, I just think about the puppy mills. Like, did they get that name from this? Like, Jesus, this is really bad.
I bet they did.
So bad. Baby mills, puppy farms.
It was more profitable for the angel makers if the infants died, since the small sum of money given to them was not enough to care for a child. A reason why the angel making practice was able to go on for so long without authorities' interference was because the handling of illegitimate children was a shady business. The unwed mothers were desperate and tried to avoid a scandal.
Oh, I'm sure. Can you imagine how many, like, probably royal kids and, like, upper-class babies were born out of this and
given away
like this?
Oh, yeah.
And how many lines of inheritance was cut from this? I mean, dude.
The unwed mothers often gave birth in secrecy and gave their babies to foster parents without question.
I don't know how this happened. I've given birth to 2 children. You've given birth to 3. How the fuck they do it in secrecy?
I don't know.
But there was no secret about my pregnancy. Good God. I mean, I fucking look like a Macy Day's Parade blimp my 8th and 9th month. There was no hiding that shit. And then when I had the kid, are you fucking kidding me? I think the entire city I was in heard me have that child. Ran away. They had it in secrecy. How the fuck did you do that? Did you go live in a hole for 3 months?
They sent them away to convents.
Yeah, but that's not secrecy, though. When I think of secrecy, I'm thinking like they hit it and then just went out in the woods and had the baby. And
no, that's not
lady.
What they meant. They didn't have them out, like they used.
Well, yeah, we don't really know, Court.
I bet they had them in like convents and stuff.
I mean, they don't say that.
Well, they don't.
But and why wouldn't the convent kick the baby? Why would they give it to this crazy lady?
I don't know this, Corey.
Just saying.
Maybe they were all filled up there. I don't know.
Just saying.
No, no.
I feel like these mothers had the babies in secret and they walked up to this lady and was like, here you go. And back then, they had to be of upper class to be able to give her a lump sum of money to be able to, because usually if you're having a baby out of wedlock, that means you don't have money. I mean, women back in those times didn't just have money at their cash flow. Like, it just wasn't at their feet and their fingertips to use. Like, they had to go to a man to get it. So for me, that's what I'm saying, upper class. And I think it was definitely, they hid their pregnancy all the way up till they couldn't hide it anymore. Probably went to their slaves' houses and were like, hey, let me in, have my child for me, and then take it to this lady's house. I don't know.
Back then, we're talking about the early 1900s.
They did too. Look, not the slaves like the United States had, but they had like servants and shit that
indentured servants.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. Call them whatever you want. Make it fancy. I don't care. Indentured servants. But whatever. They were slaves. Okay. They were slaves to the money. I mean, if you don't believe me, watch The Help. Okay. I mean, give me a break. Those women were treated terribly. That's how this was, and that's across the board. They treated their servants like shit because that's just the way they were. So I'm sure she probably had it in some servant's house. Or servant's quarters, and the servant took it to the lady's house. I don't think she would have had it in a comment because that would have made a bigger scandal.
Maybe.
Blowing Court's mind over here today.
Authorities were often unaware of these children even existed, as they typically had no birth records, and very seldom did the mothers come back for the children or check in to see how they were doing. Now, what made Hilda Nielsen different from other angel makers was that while most just neglected the children they took in to the point of them dying, Hilda actively killed the children she took care of.
Fucking sick, dude.
Yep.
Like, seriously, good God.
I mean, she's a
piece of work.
She is a piece of work, I will say that.
I mean, really, definitely sociopathic, psychopathic on a deep level.
I would agree with that.
Right? We don't know that much about her. We really don't know a lot other than she would take the kids in and kill them herself. What the fuck?
I tried to look for background history on her, but I couldn't find shit.
And like I said, she doesn't have any children on her. So she didn't have any children noted. So to me, that just tells me that either she didn't want them or she couldn't have them. And therefore, she looked at him with a whole different look of life than
I would agree.
It being a new life and a baby. She looked at him as a nuisance.
Yep. Hilda kept a clean and tidy home, giving unwed mothers a peace of mind. Unfortunately, the money Hilda generated from looking after the babies was not enough for the bills, and she killed most of the infants after they had been dropped off.
This is so bad.
I know.
I'm just like, oh.
It's hard for me to even, I guess, also for a woman to do this. Like, it's hard to, no motherly instinct at all.
I've just never looked at a baby and be like, you're dead. I have come into so many contacts with babies throughout my life. And one point in my life, I was like, I'm never having kids. And then throughout my years, I'm like, now I just love seeing them and playing with them. And they're so cute and they're so cuddly and level. But good Lord, like, you really did not like children.
No, she did not.
she probably would have turned out to be a teacher at some point.
You think? I don't think so.
I don't know, you know? I mean, sometimes I come into contact with some teachers sometimes and I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be teaching. You do not like children.
Why did you pick this profession?
Why are you here? Go do something else. You don't like kids. And that's kind of what I feel about this lady. Like, I mean, if you have this reputation, how can you take your kid to her? Like, oh my
but
God.
Nobody knew.
She well, got eventually they
it.
Found
eventually,
out.
Eventually, but she got away with it for a while.
See, that's why I really think that these were upper class women having these kids and their servants were taking them to this lady. Because, you know, that way they wouldn't know where the baby went or what happened. Because you naturally have an instinct for your child after you have it. Like, it's beyond our control, right, Court? Like, it is just, you want to see it, you want to hold it.
Some mothers don't, though. Some mothers don't.
I don't know. You know, I think on some level they do. But it's not as a deep level as a lot of mothers. But you're right. There are some mothers out there that have. But physically, your body wants the child. It has to have the child, right? It's built to feed and nurture the child. Your body is. Your body goes through all kinds of changes. So to me, that's why I think this was definitely a third handoff kind of a situation. Like, I don't think the mothers themselves went there because I don't think the mothers could have done it.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Hilda's first foster child was a 5-month-old baby girl who kept Hilda awake throughout the night with her constant crying.
Oh, Lord.
Not going to be good.
Good Lord. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, my mom and my dad just went through a back surgery. It's been 2 weeks, and she hasn't slept much these last 2 weeks. And the other day, I walked into their house to check on him, and the way my mom looked at my dad, I really was like, I don't think you should stay the night here tonight. I mean, Mom, are you okay? She's like, I'm going to kill him. Oh, no. Like, that sleep deprivation is a real thing. It can drive people crazy.
It can.
Love you, Mom. Don't worry, my dad's okay, on a side note. He's fine. He's happily sitting in the garage, smiling and waving at Courtney.
The small payment that Hilda received from the unwed mother was not enough to care for the infant, so Hilda eventually killed the baby girl. When her husband discovered that the baby girl was gone, Hilda told Gustav that a well-to-do couple had taken the child. I mean, she's quick on her feet.
Yeah, and I mean, the husband's like, yeah, fuck it, whatever.
I'm tired of that baby crying anyways.
It's tired of being on my listen to that shit.
Hilda then began the sinister activity of taking in unwanted infants from unwed mothers for payment and then murdered the children. Her husband or neighbors knew when Hilda received a new infant since she killed them almost immediately.
Oh, good Lord. It just gets worse. I mean, these aren't rats. These are babies.
She's a terrible person.
Oh. Yeah. Like I said, now she's, to me, with this new information, she's definitely reached the peak of a psychopath. Not a sociopath anymore. A psychopath. Because she has no feelings.
Nope.
She has no emotions. It's dead inside.
I would fucking agree with that. Hilda murdered the infants that she took into her home to care for by placing them in a washtub filled with water and then placed a washboard as a lid on top. She would then place a cold scuttle on top of that as a weight so that it would not come off from the infant wailing around. Hilda would then leave the room and then return a couple of hours later to find the infant deceased. Once the child had become an angel, Hilda then burnt the child's body in the charcoal furnace used to heat the water in the laundry room.
What the fuck?
See, she's fucked up. Like, that's terrible. I can't even imagine that.
I don't even know. Like her level of psychoticness is just beyond my grasp right now. She's dead inside. There's nothing left to her. There's really nothing left to her, Court. She's dead inside.
Fucking terrible.
I hope that.
She's looking up at us. Sit it down.
Definitely hope she's looking up at us. Sit down. She's looking up at us. Let's get straight here, Court. She got her furnace burning. Promise you.
I would agree. On a few occasions, Hilda did not have enough time to burn the infants' bodies before her husband returned home. So she dug a hole in the ground and buried them. She was able to murder numerous infants in this manner without being caught. Hilda's sinister misdoings were finally exposed when a woman named Linda Hinkerson, who had given her son Gunnar to Hilda to care for, still wanted contact with her child. When Hilda refused to let Linda see her son, she got in touch with the town's foster care board, who handed the case over to the authorities, and it wasn't long before Hilda's gruesome baby farm was revealed.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, you had to know this was coming. Like I told you, a mother, they have natural instincts. You know, it's one thing if they're told that they couldn't find the kid, the baby died at birth, and the mother grieves and moves on. But if the mother gave the child to this lady and then wanted contact with the baby and she kills it, yeah, you're going to get caught.
I would agree. Hilda would be arrested, and authorities found quite a bit of evidence at her home for a conviction of murdering infants.
You mean the burnt bones in the furnace and the fucking babies dead and buried in the backyard? Those were the freshly marked graves?
Hilda's trial started on June 2nd, 1917, in the district court in Helsingborg, Sweden, and drew quite a bit of attention.
Well, of course.
On June 15th, 1917, Hilda was convicted of murdering 7 infants and convicted of manslaughter in another case, though some estimated that she murdered as many as 17 infants.
So if your whole goal was to keep this from being scandalous, I mean, now the solicitor had to go and find witnesses.
Like, and these mothers.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine? Like, how does that get put in the newspaper? If you've had a baby out of wedlock trying to avoid a scandal and gave it to this lady, can you please come to the police department?
We have some bones for you to identify.
We got some stuff we need to talk about with you.
It'd be fucking terrible.
Seriously, because back then, everything was spread through the newspaper. There's no news reports and shit.
Maybe
there's no
radio.
TV. I mean, no.
Yeah, radio.
In 1917, yeah, there's radio, I guess, over there. But still, maybe radio? Like, how do you broadcast that shit?
Newspaper.
Hey, ladies, if you've had a baby
word
out of
mouth.
I mean, I guess.
That's why you had the town crier.
And then again, it might have been that she was, you know, in such a central location, in such a small location where it was easy to identify her, too.
That's true. Hilda was sentenced to death by guillotine, and later the verdict was confirmed in a court of appeals.
Yeah, bring out the guillotine. She could have met a better end to her life.
However, before Hilda's head would roll, she committed suicide in cell 5 in Lex Krona Citadel Prison by hanging herself with a linen cloth which she had tied to her cell door on August 10th, 1917.
What a weak-ass bitch. Of course she did.
Yep.
Of course she did. Because she couldn't handle that. The guillotine probably would have been a lot less painful.
I would agree. It would have been quick. Unless it wasn't sharpened.
How does that work? If it doesn't cut the head all the way, do they pull it back up and then let it back down
again? I'm sure they do.
Like, I mean, does it have to keep going like one of those little finally gets through court? And who sharpens the blade anyway? I've got to do some research.
The henchman.
Well, no, but you know, the henchman's the one that just cuts the rope. The henchman's more for the hangings. You know, who's the little guy that has to go sharpen? Who's got that job? Like, I'm going to let you live. I'm going to commute your sentence to life. But your job
is
to go.
It's a blacksmith that's doing it.
Yeah, go sharpen this bitch whenever we got a guillotine coming up. I wonder if it was the same guy for Marie Antoinette. Same sharpener.
No, it's a different country.
True. And it was a different time frame, too. But maybe he's like an ancestor of him or something. Because that's a very special skill. So back then, so
I mean,
you're probably
is
right.
It?
It's probably a blacksmith doing it, but it's still really funny.
It is.
Because I'm sure there were some blacksmiths back in the day that was like, oh, let me kill people and I'll just throw them in my blazing fire to melt steel. They'll melt away real quick. We should look for that court.
Oh, we should. On the same day that Hilda committed suicide, the court commuted her death sentence to life imprisonment.
Oh, isn't this ironic? This is so ironic, but so fitting.
It is.
I mean, she got to hell and went, fuck.
I just waited a little bit longer.
That's so funny. Fuck. She's looking up going, what did I do? Serves you right. Killing babies.
Interesting side note, Hilda was the last death penalty prisoner in Sweden's history not to be pardoned. Wow. So if you want to commit murder and just be sentenced to life in prison, go to Sweden.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they're so nice. They're like a very nice, calm community. They're not like all about...
Because it's so fucking expensive to live over there.
True. But it's one of the best places to live in the world. It's it's one of the top... It's like right after
it's
Finland.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah, and it's like right after Finland. Like, it's like Finland, Sweden, and they keep switching back and forth to like the best place to live in the world. Like, least amount of crime. Well, don't agree with me. I don't care. Courtney's dogs don't agree with me when I said that, but I don't care. It's like the top like one or two place to live in the world of like the nicest, no crime. But I mean, when you're using guillotines, yes, there is no crime. Bring back the guillotine.
Today in the community of Helsingborg, stories of Hilda's spirit of haunting the house where she killed the babies are still told.
Court, we have to go now.
This house was finally demolished as no one wanted to live in it, though.
Court, we still can
However,
go.
wait, because you will definitely, well, I don't know, you probably won't do this. Cell 5, where Hilda committed suicide, is also said to be haunted. It was reported that at one time there was a Danish prostitute in the cell. The next morning, they found her insane and in a crazed state with a blood stain on the floor. The prostitute told the jailers, "It looks like the devil's eye that dripped from Hilda's Bible."
What the fuck? Oh, Court, no, we gotta go.
We can go there. Another woman who was in cell 5 said she saw a woman hanging in the window, and jailers said that they heard mysterious noises coming from the cell. The prison dogs of Landskrona also refused to enter cell 5 after Hilda committed suicide.
Dogs have a sixth sense.
They know. I'm telling you, they know.
After the 1940s, the Citadel prison became a museum. It is located in Scandinavia, southern Sweden.
Okay, Court, we got to get your husband on our whatever his app is where he gets good flights. We got to go to Sweden. I mean, we can take tents and just pinch a tent and sleep in tents, but we got to go.
I'm not doing that.
Why not?
I'm not pitching a fucking tent.
It would be fun. It's very pretty over there. It's a big thing.
To pitch a tent?
Yeah, they pitch a tent.
Girl, we are not in our 20s anymore. We are in our 40s. I am not pitching a tent and sleeping on the fucking ground. Like, I'm sorry, I've graduated from that. No.
We could go backpacking through there.
I'll do some fucking glamping.
Okay, I'll bring wipes. I'll bring wipes. Come on, Court. Come on. We can try to do it as cheap as possible. No, it'll be fun.
I am not backpacking.
We can eat some gefilte fish. Come on. It comes already in the can.
Shit stinks.
Come on, Court.
Jesus Christ. No, I've graduated. I'm too old for that shit. I've graduated.
I want to vote from our listeners. If you want Court to have to go backpack and sleep in a tent in Sweden.
They do not want to see that.
If your vote wins, we'll go and we'll document it. It'll be a great time.
Nobody wants to see that, I promise. I will be so pissed, Corey, if I end up having to go backpacking and sleeping in a fucking tent.
I'll bring wipes. The dude wipes make extra large ones now. We're okay. It'll be fine. I promise I won't make you shit in public. We'll find something real private.
No, you'll make me shit in the woods.
We'll find a place real private for you, Court.
Jesus Christ.
No. All right, listeners, it's up to you. We're putting it out there. Let's see. Let's do it.
Nope. All right, Corey, mistakes.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, honestly, Hilda, not being a mom, not understanding the natural pull that mothers have towards their children, physically, emotionally, all that, this was going to go bad for her at some point. Because one of the mothers was going to come back looking for their kid. So
she got too complacent, I think.
Yeah, it was too easy there for a while. You know, she could just kill him. Nobody knew about it. And then when it finally happened, not understanding mother's psyches and the way mothers are and their instincts. I mean, yeah, this was bound to happen. That was her biggest mistake. And, you know, I mean, come on. Jesus, when you didn't see the lady around town with a bunch of babies on her hips, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, didn't you get like 4 kids last week? And then the husband, too. Like, he just was like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit.
I don't even care. Didn't we have a baby this morning when I left? Whatever.
One less mouth to feed.
And I mean, honestly, back then, do you really think rich people were walking around going, hey, can I have this kid you have? No.
No.
And you didn't take an ad out in the newspaper for them. So how would they even know about you? So many mistakes. This is a good one, Court.
Well, I hope y'all enjoyed it.
We did. Definitely. Well, as always, stay strange and unusual.
We'll be back next week with another cocktail and a new tale of sinister minds, their menacing crimes, and mistakes they left behind. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe and download us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite show.
Want the recipe to try Corey's sinister cocktail from today's episode? Or have any constructive feedback or true crime stories you would like to hear us cover? Or even sinister cocktail recipes for us to try? Email us at sinistercrimesandcocktails@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.sinistercrimesandcocktailspodcast.com, Facebook page, Sinister Crimes and Cocktails, and our Instagram page, Sinister Crimes and Cocktails.
Love what you heard and want to help support our show or donate to our Sinister Cocktail Fund? You can donate to our Cash App at @SinisterCrimes, all one word, and we will give you a shout out on our next episode and which fund you donate to. Thank you.